This is the Outdoor Journey Show, where life takes you outdoors. The Outdoor Journey Show with Matt Gatiss and Ty Morgan, brought to you by Journey Hunts and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
Matt Gatiss and Ty Morgan with the Outdoor Journey Show. Ty, this week, another beautiful subject matter for us to talk about, the allure of Africa.
I have to say I'm a little jealous because you have gotten to go, and I've heard so many amazing stories about Africa and that allure, as you would say. It's a perfect word for it because you just want to go experience it, you know, of all things. And I've never heard horror stories coming back. It's always like, wow, what an experience.
Absolutely. You know, I can remember back sitting in the day some 20 years ago in Pennsylvania and sitting at the Garage Rats Archery Club. And yes, that was the real name.
Yeah.
And we used to sit and talk about the dream of going to Africa, you know, and it's been an allure of mine ever since then. And then in the past few years, I've been able to fulfill that. And I think it's important because in the outdoor community, there are many people who dream of Africa and just don't think it's possible.
Well, the expense. I mean, you think about that. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's going to be tens and $20,000. I mean, honestly, at first blush, I would think, man, there's no way I could come up with 20 or 30 grand to do a hunt like that, because that's what it's got to be. You know, you go to these hunting banquets,
right,
and that's what they sell for.
Right.
And you're going, whew, there's no way I'm in on that. What is the reality there?
Well, and that's the first misperception. It always comes back to money. That is the first thing. It's too expensive for me to go to Africa is usually the first thought I have. And the truth of the matter is, for the price of a Western elk hunt. Now, that's hard for you and I to fathom,
right,
because we walk out the door and we're on BLM or up on forest property and we go and hunt. But for like my friends from Pennsylvania who come out here, pay for a guided hunt, spend in all $7,000-$8,000 for that same price, you go to Africa and you can shoot one tremendously large animal, or you can shoot 10 or 12 smaller, incredibly beautiful animals. For the price of an elk hunt is what I always tell people, you can absolutely have a killer blast in Africa.
Well, that is new news to me.
It is. It is. And people have that misperception about expense. The other big one I get often is the danger, you know, and, you know, South Africa, which is where I go, although you can go other places. South Africa to me is very different from the rest of Africa. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's very much like here. There are some nuances to South Africa, just like anywhere else you would go in the world. But I have never been in South Africa and felt any more danger than I would when I'm in Johannesburg in any other city in the U.S. And definitely when you're out in the bush, when you're actually out on safari, I have never felt in danger at all, other than a lion charging. You know, that's just one of the nuances that you don't necessarily have to put yourself in that situation. But, you know, I've never really felt in danger. There are no required immunizations. It's recommended that you take malaria. I never have. Mm-hmm. Not telling anybody else that they shouldn't, but I have never taken anything in all the trips that I've gone, and I've taken my entire family. You know, my wife and my daughter, I've sent them alone to South Africa. And so there is really a misperception there in the area of danger, too. The big subject matter also is the fact that all South Africa is fenced. The majority of South Africa is fenced. And the reason it's fenced is because we are trying to grow, and it's one of the best quality management programs in the world. They are protecting those animals because there's not enough food and there's not enough water in South Africa.
Okay.
And so if these landowners do not provide water and food, these animals will absolutely die. And the proof of the matter is the surrounding countries right now, many of them have stopped hunting in the last 3 years. And for example, Tanzania, you know, some of Botswana, they've cut off all hunting. Their populations are down 75% in just 3 years because if nobody's managing the animals, they die. They
now,
absolutely die.
Do they see an influx of poaching, just a, you know, side note there, because of that?
Yeah, they do. And what happens is as soon as the care for the game goes out of hand and people stop caring for the game, poachers come in and they capitalize on that. And that's a huge reason that that population has gone down. The fencing there keeps poachers out. The fencing there keeps animals in. It doesn't prevent your leopards, your cheetahs, your lions from coming in and out. Everybody thinks it does. But on every safari, I see leopard tracks. You know, it's just part of what's there. They can go and come as they please. So it doesn't stop that. And you have to understand, too, we're not talking about 40 acres with hand-fed deer.
Right.
You know, that's what we
think of. Tens of thousands.
Oh, absolutely. You have 3, 5, 7, 10, 30, 60,000 acres, you know, that are fenced in. And believe me, everything is very, very wild. Very wild.
Now, you know, and it's got to be some big business for them. I mean, that's got to be an amazing moneymaker as well as a food supplier. Because
absolutely,
you know, I've heard that you don't get to take the food with you. That actually goes to the communities, the local tribes, communities, and everything.
Absolutely. Hunting is the second greatest industry in South Africa next to mining. I mean, they're known for mining. Hunting is the second industry. And so there are thousands and thousands of jobs that are created directly through the hunting industry. And then because of the money that comes in, tons of other jobs that are supplied. And for example, the safari that I hunt with, Sidiba Nkwe Hunting Safaris, they have a sister property that's also owned by the same owner called Sidiba Kwele. And what that is a children's camp. And so all of the meat that comes through our hunters at Sidiba Nkwe, all of that meat that is not eaten in camp, and believe me, you want to eat it while you're there. I mean, we ate a ton of the different species while we're there, and it's all very good. Mm-hmm. But what's left over all gets donated and feeds that children's camp for an entire year. And many of the kids that come there are impoverished kids from the city who have never had any experience, and they get a full week of protein, and it's instrumental, you know, in their life, without a doubt. So
that's pretty amazing.
Good opportunity. Our title sponsor, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, here in America, in North America, huge on conservation. And the fact that the hunter is the ultimate conservationist,
right,
you see that firsthand in Africa. I mean, their quality management program is as good as anything I have ever encountered anywhere in the world. And it's built on hunting, because the hunter is the conservationist. So it's a good thing.
I mean, you know, too many animals, that's no food. No food, dead animals. I mean, it's a pretty easy math equation if you put it all together. You know?
If you think about it from an intellectual and intelligent standpoint, yes, it is. But if you come into it emotionally, and there's a lot of emotion built around Africa. Right. You know, there is, when you start talking about lions and elephants, and if you show harvest pictures on Facebook of those things, people get up in arms, and it's really miseducation.
Right.
I can tell you, on one of our properties, which is not fenced, it's a river property right on the Limpopo River, the elephants are so overrun in that area because Botswana, which is right on the other side of the river, has stopped hunting. They have come in and just trashed the trees and the food source for all the other animals. They are overrun. And so we've got to have accurate information and understand that conservation needs to take place for all animals.
Absolutely.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, this allure of Africa got me a few years ago. I had the privilege of going a few years ago, and I admit that I had some of the misperceptions. And going there really changed all of that. And you know, up to this point, I've been able to harvest 18 different animals and 15 different species.
Wow.
And I'm not a wealthy guy, Tom. Yeah. You know what I mean? I work hard for what I do. I plan hard. I save hard. But I've been able to do that over there. And, you know, this most recent trip, I had the privilege of hunting the largest antelope in South Africa, which is an eland. It's 2,000 to 2,200 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge, big animal.
Here's the amazing thing. A 10-foot fence does not keep it in. Oh, they can jump a 10-foot fence. Most amazing animal.
Wow.
I actually watched one a few years ago hit the top of a 10-foot fence, bend it back, and it was brought back in. But they can clear a 10-foot fence, and they're amazing. And I was able to shoot that with my Bear Archery Anarchy HC and my Black Eagle arrows. You know, we've had Randy Kitts on the show as a guest, and that Black Eagle deep impact arrow just drilled that 2,200-pound animal and was perfect.
You know, just to pause there for a moment, you mentioned you do bow hunting, you know, from a rifle to a bow. Is it any different in a hunt in Africa versus a hunt, you know, with a bow here, you know, hunting an elk?
Well, it is a little bit different, but not completely different. If you sit here on a water source and you sit on a wallow here, you're hunting the same way you would hunt there. Although maybe here you're in a tree stand, you know, up in an aspen there, you're sitting in a blind. Mm-hmm. And everything in Africa, just like here, but because it's limited water source, everything has to drink.
Right.
And so for a bow hunter, it is a bow haven. There's nowhere better, because the blinds are all set up so that you're 16 to 25 yards to the water source. And so you've got water and food, and those animals are going to come and drink and going. It's not uncommon to see 70 animals in a sit in a morning or an evening. And you never know what's going to show up. That's the excitement to me. You don't know whether you're going to see a kudu, an eland. You don't know whether you're going to see a giraffe, whether a lion's going to come in, a leopard. You just don't know.
Now, with the lion coming in, that might make you tense up a little bit, I guess is a better way to put it.
the only time I've seen a lion myself on my trips is the two times we were hunting them. So, I mean, that's the only time that I've seen a lion personally. So understand that, you know, it's not an everyday occurrence, but like I said, I see leopard tracks every time I'm there. you know, I've not seen a leopard yet. Hopefully one of these trips we'll actually get to hunt one and see one, so it'll be a cool deal.
Kind of a fun thing.
You know, yeah, a trip to Africa, really, going back to the money thing, a middle-class American individual who loves hunting, if they plan right, they can make it there. And that's really what I want to stress. You can make it to Africa, and you can fulfill your life desire to hunt there. I've got people who do that all the time.
You know, one of our coworkers, I mean, for her, her husband did the hunting, but just the photography side of seeing these animals and shooting them in a different angle, which is with that camera lens, was just as much enjoyment for her. So to say that it's only a man's world, you know, right. You know, if your wife or girlfriend, whatever, doesn't hunt, it's still an experience of a lifetime.
That's
to take
right.
them along with you.
Yeah, Journey Hunt's first two groups this year of the year were two complete families.
Mm-hmm.
Five people, three kids, obviously, and a husband, wife, and two. So our first two groups were not hunters. You know, the men were, and the ladies ended up hunting, which happens often when you
right.
get there, you know, but it they were not going there for hunting. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's for everybody, and there's just so much to see. In our second part of our show, we're going to have Chuck Schaefer in, and Chuck is one of those guys who worked really hard, planned hard, saved hard in order to experience Africa.
Looking forward to it with him in just a moment.
This is the Outdoor Journey Show, where life takes you outdoors. The Outdoor Journey Show with Matt Gatiss and Ty Morgan, brought to you by Journey Hunts and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.